You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct, the show where we dig into the technology that's reshaping how we fly. Today, we're talking about something that has genuinely, measurably saved lives in general aviation. Garmin autopilot technology specifically, how we went from autopilots that were expensive, unreliable, and reserved for high-end aircraft to a world where a single button can save you from a death spiral in the clouds. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you love aviation, check out their gear and apparel at aviationsoul.com. So let's break this down. To understand why Garmin's autopilot systems matter so much, you need to understand the problem they solved. For decades, general aviation had a fatal weakness: spatial disorientation. A VFR pilot flies into instrument conditions. They lose the horizon. Within about 90 seconds, the inner ear starts lying to them. They enter a spiral, and the outcome is almost always fatal. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, has called continued VFR flight into instrument meteorological conditions one of the leading killers in GA for as long as anyone has been keeping records. Old school autopilots existed, sure. King KFC, 200 systems, Century units, various hydraulic and electric designs going back to the 1960s. But here's the thing. They were maintenance nightmares. They cost tens of thousands of dollars to install. They required dedicated gyroscopic instruments. And when they failed, they sometimes failed in dangerous ways, actively fighting the pilot for control of the aircraft. The average Cessna 172 or Piper Cherokee owner couldn't justify the cost, so most piston singles flew without any autopilot at all. Then Garmin changed the game, and they did it in stages. The first major leap was the G1000 integrated flight deck, which started showing up in new Cessna and Diamond aircraft around 2004-2005. This wasn't just a glass panel, it was an architecture shift. By integrating the attitude and heading reference system, called AHRS, with GPS navigation and digital autopilot servos, Garmin created a system where everything talked to everything else. The autopilot wasn't bolted on as an afterthought, it was woven into the fabric of the avionics suite. But the G1000 was a forward-fit system for new aircraft. The real revolution for the existing fleet came later in 2014. Garmin certified the GFC 700 autopilot. This was a retrofit digital autopilot designed specifically for Part 23 aircraft that were already flying, type-certificated airplanes, and it was a fundamentally different animal from what came before. The GFC 700 used digital servo technology with an integrated electronic stability and protection system. What does that mean in plain English? It means the autopilot doesn't just follow a heading or track a glide slope, it actively monitors your flight envelope. If you exceed certain pitch or bank limits, even with the autopilot disengaged, the system provides a corrective force on the controls. It nudges you back towards safe flight. Think of it like electronic stability control in your car. You don't have to turn it on, it's watching, and if things go sideways, literally, it intervenes. Now, here's where the data tells an interesting story. Garmin took this concept further with Autoland, branded as Autonomy. This showed up first in the Cirrus Vision Jet and the Piper M600 in 2020, and later in the Cirrus SR series with the G3000. Press one button, a big red button labeled Emergency Autoland, and the system takes over completely. It picks the nearest suitable airport, considers runway length and weather, navigates to the field, flies an approach, lands the aircraft, and brings it to a stop. No pilot input required. Let me say that again. A passenger with zero flight training can press one button and the airplane will land itself. That is not science fiction. That is a certified flying, available today system. But let me be balanced here, because this show isn't about hype. Let's talk about what these systems can and can't do. The GFC 700 and its variants. The GFC 500 for experimental aircraft and the GFC 600 for helicopters are excellent systems. Reliability has been outstanding compared to legacy autopilots. The digital servo design means fewer mechanical failure points. The envelope protection works even when the autopilot is off, which is brilliant engineering because that's exactly when pilots get into trouble. However, these systems still require proper installation. I've talked to avionics shops that have seen installations go wrong because of poor cable routing, improper rigging, or interference with existing systems. A GFC 700 installation in a Cessna 182 or a Bonanza is still a $30,000 to $60,000 project depending on the airframe. That's come down significantly from legacy systems, but it's not pocket change for a weekend flyer. And Autoland, as amazing as it is, currently only exists in a handful of high-end airframes. The Cirrus Vision Jet, the M600, and the Cirrus SR22T with the G3000, we're talking aircraft that cost anywhere from $700,000 to well over $3 million. The technology works, but it hasn't trickled down to the Skyhawk fleet yet. And honestly, the economics of certifying it for 30-year-old airframes are challenging. Here's what most people miss about Garmin's autopilot strategy. The real safety impact isn't Autoland. Autoland gets the headlines, and rightfully so. But the system that's saving the most lives right now is the Electronic Stability and Protection, or ESP, built into the GFC 700 series and the G3000 and G5000 flight decks. ESP is working in the background on every flight. Every time a pilot starts an unusual bank or pitch excursion, ESP applies a gentle corrective pressure. The pilot can override it. It's not grabbing the controls away from you, but it creates a tactile cue that says, hey, you're getting out of the safe envelope. Pay attention. The FAA's own data suggests that loss of control in flight remains the number one fatal accident category in general aviation. Not engine failures, not mid-airs, loss of control. And loss of control is exactly what ESP is designed to prevent. Garmin reported that by 2025, over 20,000 GFC 700 series autopilots had been delivered. 20,000 aircraft in the GA fleet that now have digital envelope protection. That's not a niche product, that's a meaningful percentage of the active flying piston fleet. Let me also mention the experimental and light sports side. The GFC 500 autopilot brought much of this same technology to experimental amateur-built aircraft at a significantly lower price point. For the RV builder or the Sling 4 kit builder, you can now have a two-axis autopilot with envelope protection for a fraction of what a certified system costs, and Garmin's G5, which is an EFIS replacement for the old vacuum-driven attitude indicator, brings basic attitude reference to almost any certified aircraft for around $2,000. That doesn't include autopilot, but it means you have a reliable solid-state attitude source that doesn't depend on a vacuum pump that might quit on you in the clouds. The vacuum pump, now there's a piece of technology that deserved to be retired about 20 years before it actually was. But that's a topic for another episode. Looking ahead, the question is how far down the price ladder can this technology go? Garmin's biggest competitor in the retrofit autopilot space is TrueTrack, which Garmin actually acquired in 2019. TrueTrack had been making affordable autopilots for experimental aircraft for years. That acquisition gave Garmin the engineering talent and product line to attack the lower end of the market more aggressively. There's also the emerging category of simplified autopilot systems. The FAA's policy on non-required safety-enhancing equipment has opened the door for less expensive autopilot installations under certain conditions. We might see the day when a basic two-axis autopilot with envelope protection costs under $10,000 installed in a certified aircraft. We're not there yet, but the regulatory path is being carved. I'll also give a nod to Garmin's integration with their Connext ecosystem and the Garmin Pilot app. The ability to load a flight plan on your tablet, send it wirelessly to the panel, and have the autopilot fly, it is a workflow improvement that reduces workload. And reduced cockpit workload means fewer errors. Fewer errors means fewer accidents. The safety case isn't always about the dramatic save. Sometimes it's about making routine flying less taxing so you have more cognitive reserves when something does go wrong. So where do we net out? Garmin's autopilot technology, from the G1000 through the GFC 700 through Autoland, represents the single most significant safety advancement in general aviation in the last 20 years. I'd put it ahead of ADS-B. I'd put it ahead of airbag seatbelts. I'd even put it ahead of the Cirrus airframe parachute, and that is a controversial opinion I'm happy to defend. Because the parachute saves you after things have gone wrong. Garmin's envelope protection prevents things from going wrong in the first place. That's the difference between a last resort and a first line of defense. Now, is Garmin perfect? No. Their market dominance raises legitimate concerns about vendor lock-in and pricing power. When one company controls the panel, the autopilot, the servos, the GPS, the comm radios, and the transponder, they have enormous leverage over the aircraft owner. Competition is healthy, and I'd like to see more of it. But credit where it's due. Garmin looked at the GA safety problem, identified the technical solutions, invested in certification, and delivered products that work. The data supports it, the accident record supports it. Pilots who fly behind these systems will tell you they are game changers, and we're just getting started. Today's discussion drew from reporting by AVWeb, data published by the NTSB and the FAA, Garmin's own product documentation and analysis from AOPA's Air Safety Institute. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast created by real pilots who care about this stuff. You can find more at radiohangar.com, including links to the sources we referenced today. I'm Vector. Go fly behind good technology, but never stop being a good pilot first. That's the balance. That's always the balance. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.